Yo, how's it going? It's Tuesday, February 12th, 2013. A very happy 17th birthday to my brother Liam, and happy start of spring training to everybody out there in Philadelphia. Welcome to the 11th episode of Social Echoes, the True Voice Media podcast. If you're ready to go, let's get rolling. Welcome back to Social Echoes from True Voice Media. Thanks for listening in. I'm John Steyer, host of Social Echoes and all accompanying projects. You can find more episodes and more about us on our website, socialechoespodcast.com, or you can go ahead and head over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and just search simply Social Echoes. If you've enjoyed some of the past interviews or guests, we'd love to hear your feedback. Please leave a review, give us a rating, good, or bad, or indifferent, just to give us an idea of how you're liking the show and what other topics you'd like to hear us discuss. You can always tweet me using the hashtag socialechoes or email me, John, J-O-N, at truevoicemedia.com. Okay, so our guest today is quite the creative mind. If you heard the podcast with CeCe Chapman and I, CeCe and I made a joke about some of the different things in marketing, how it had already been done. And then there's Jason. JasonHeadsets.com. Yes, that's right. You heard his name correctly. Headsets.com is making everyone rethink what is creativity in marketing and branding. He's the chief shirt wearer for his own company, iWearYourShirt.com, and he recently sold his last name for roughly a year's salary. I'm excited to have JasonHeadsets.com on the program. How are you, Mr. Headsets.com?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I was just giving you a hard time about the weather because I'm obviously in Florida and it's beautiful here. And I can wear t-shirts all year round, which has kind of been my shtick for the past couple of years, but doing well.
Yeah, so okay, so I guess that works perfectly for the first question. How did you start wearing t-shirts for a living? What kind of prompted that whole business for you?
Well, at the time it was 2008, and I had always joked that I had like 26 years experience in putting t-shirts on, so I felt like I was really qualified to put a new one on every day. But I co-owned a web design company at the time, and we had a lot of clients asking us about Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and all of these social media sites were really new. There wasn't a lot there weren't a lot of brands on them, but there also wasn't a lot of content being put out on these things yet. So it was kind of like, oh, if these brands are talking about them, we're not really doing anything with them. What's the opportunity there? So I kind of put the idea together to, be a spokesperson via social media for companies, just like there is on radio and TV and billboards. And the t-shirt thing was really just kind of the hook, right? I mean, it was the interesting part that I figured almost all businesses could get t-shirts or had t-shirts already printed. And that for me, it was like another step in my day of what t-shirt was I going to pick out of the closet. So, it was kind of me being a little bit lazy, but then also, kind of seeing a different way to get people to buy into this.
So, how quickly did this take off? I mean, when you first started iWearYourShirt.com, who were some of your first clients, and how what did some of the different engagements look like?
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting. I got the website up in October of 2008. And basically I said I was going to sell the 2009 calendar year every single day, starting at $1 on the first day, $2 on the second day, $3 on the third day, all the way up. And I thought that as soon as I launched it, and I didn't have a social media following at all. I mean, I had like 100 friends on Facebook, and I didn't even start a Twitter account until October. I thought it'd be like everybody would buy, immediately, because it was this new cool idea. No one bought. I mean, I don't even think there were like 20 people that went to the website, and 18 of them were probably my mom, like refreshing the website constantly. So, I had to deal with that, the realization that, hey, this isn't going to happen overnight. I'm going to have to actually put work into this. So, I went through my Rolodex, went through my own contact list of about 300 people I'd built up over the years, and after, being out of college and working different jobs, and emailed them all directly, personal emails, and just said, hey, this is my crazy idea. You don't have to buy, but, would you at least share it if you know any business owners? So that was a good kind of kickoff. I mean, that drummed up a little bit of sales. But really, I mean, it was kind of dead until Thanksgiving of 2008, and I got an email from the New York Times, and they said that we caught wind of this. We'd heard from Ustream as the platform I was going to use to do live video every day, and they were like, we'd like to write about this, and so that was kind of a little bump, and then time kind of passed, and then we got closer to like Christmas, and some more people started buying and talking about it, and I did some other interviews, and luckily, by January 1st of 2009, I had 5.5 months of the calendar already sold. But it wasn't like an overnight thing. I mean, the website didn't go up and everyone bought. I mean, it really took time and me working every single day while still having a whole other gig to get this thing going.
So would you kind of attribute traditional media and kind of giving you that bigger boost to get to the platform that you wanted iwearyourshirt.com to be?
Yeah, I mean, it was all a part of the kind of the puzzle of having it come together, right? I mean, I think one of the biggest things for me was I used Twitter religiously from the beginning. Once I figured out, you know, what it was there for and how to use it and how to interact with people and at mention tons of people. So I just started going on like at mention rampages, you know, and it wasn't like spamming people. It was just jumping in conversations, you know. So like the early days of like Tony Hsieh being on Zappos, you know, I was tweeting with Tony and, you know, I was tweeting with lots of other brands and I was just trying to be in the conversation, hoping that they would then come back to my profile, read my bio or go to the website, or if it ever came up, I could drop a link to them. And that's actually how a lot of the initial sales came about, was just reaching out to these brands, searching different hashtags like advertising, marketing, you know, even t-shirts, you know, just trying to talk to people. So that was a big thing. But yeah, I mean, the traditional definitely helped as well, because that's still where people were. You know, social media was still so new that there were only so many people who were on the cutting edge of it. You know, I had to go where people were to get them to hear about it.
So how about the t-shirt that you're wearing right now? Who is your weekly or monthly sponsor? How do you work that right now?
Yeah, so the first 3 years, it was all daily sponsors. So the shirt changed every single day. You know, we had a lot of companies who bought multiple days, but I mean, really, it was a different company. And we've worked with over 1,500 since 2009. And it's been really crazy to see big companies, small companies. But we made a shift in mid-2012, went to a weekly model, just because there's so many marketing messages through social media now. You know, you need more time. You can't just have the daily thing. It wasn't getting enough exposure for companies. And I kind of saw that coming. So I said, you know, let's do a week. You know, we kind of up the price. We have a lot less clients and we make more content, but we think the content's obviously a lot better because we've had so much experience. And we've heard that from our clients. I mean, that's the big thing is, you know, we worked at Pepperidge Farm last year and they were like, this is amazing. Like the price point that we paid, we would never get this quality of content in like the agency world that we're used to. So that's fun. But anyway, this week's shirt is for One Spark, which is actually a really cool event going on in Jacksonville, but it's not just Jacksonville based. It's a crowdfunding event. So like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, I mean, those platforms are really taking off. They're helping a lot of entrepreneurs and future business owners get funding for their ideas. Well, the idea behind One Spark is that you can be anybody with an idea that's either at the beginning stages, you have a prototype or whatever. You can sign up for, it's like $35 to be a creator at the event. Whether you have an app, a website, a blog, an art project you're working on, a music album, I mean, anything from anywhere around the world, you sign up, you can come to Jacksonville. It's a four-day event, kind of like a mini South by Southwest. But there's people walking around with money that'll fund you. They've got $1 million fund from an entrepreneur here who owns the Jaguars. They raised $250,000 for crowd voting during the event. So just like it couldn't be a better shirt to be wearing on the show because, you know, it fits really well with my life and, you know, getting entrepreneurs to kind of be successful and try and find funding.
So who do you think, who benefits more from your product? Is it a more established brand or is it something kind of like One Spark where they're a little bit smaller and they're trying to get more traction?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, you know, we've had some big brands where I would have thought there would have been a lot more success. I mean, we worked with Pizza Hut back in 2010, I think, and I really thought that it would have been like so many more people talking about it because, you know, it's Pizza Hut, right? It's a national brand. They're a Fortune 100 company. And the response was kind of lackluster. You know, then we worked with Nissan shortly thereafter, and they sent us cars that was the Nissan Juke, hadn't been released yet. We made videos, and it was okay. I mean, I think the response initially was all right. We had a story written in Fast Company, which was really cool. But even to this day, the video that I made has like 50,000 views. But better than that, people are commenting like once a month. They're like, hey, I bought a Juke because I saw this video, and it made the Juke look really cool. They spent $800 and they're selling $20,000 vehicles. You know, I mean, that's the type of stuff that this doesn't just end the day that we do it, like a lot of billboard, ad, radio. And that's the beautiful thing about Iwear Your Shirt that I think I stumbled onto was that the content lives on. So, you know, I think One Spark gets some value because I'm in Jacksonville. I've got a decent Jacksonville following. We're going to talk to entrepreneurs here. You know, we're sharing it with our network that's, you know, global. And that if people see it and they're like, hey, you know, I do have an idea and I will buy a plane ticket to Jacksonville, which would cost you like $100. I mean, who comes to Jacksonville? You know, get a hotel, you know, get some potential funding and meet a lot of people. You know, that's really cool. So, you know, and then we worked with ProFlowers last week, you know, a big company that is ready for Valentine's Day, you know, and we had a lot of people who are like, thank you for the promo code because I needed to buy some roses. You know, so it fits in a lot of different directions, and I don't really have an answer of this works best. I mean, we try and make it work for everybody.
So to speak to the $800 thing for Nissan, just how much return on investment they got there, what has the social impact been on the clients that have worked with you? I know a few, like you said, a few of the clients made some longer-term commitments, whether they were monthly or extra weeks. Some of them have been repeat customers. How are they tracking and measuring? Is it something that you're doing, or are they doing it on their side?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The first 3 years of I Reassure, I didn't track anything. I mean, literally, you could see how many views were on a YouTube video, and I could see my traffic on iReassure.com, and that was it. And I just, it was almost kind of like an ignorance is bliss thing. I didn't want to look at it because I wanted just to, like, see how it went. You know, I didn't want to analyze what worked well because I knew that the next day wasn't going to be a Nissan. It was going to be a mom-and-pop granola company, you know? So it's like, how can I possibly compare the two? It wouldn't do either of them justice. So, but in 2012, we tried to do a lot of reporting stuff. We really analyzed the reach on Facebook, reach on Twitter, you know, YouTube videos. We would look at them like a month afterwards, and we would say, you know, here's the growth, and here's what people are searching to find them. And we just found that, like, it was so much extra work for almost no result. I mean, we would send these reports to people. Some of them were outstanding. They'd be like, thanks. And I'm like, well, great. I mean, they paid for them, which was fine, but it was a lot of work on our end, and it just didn't do any value. You know, so we do a little bit of reporting when people ask. I mean, we've got this thing called group shirting that we do. We highly analyze that because it's our most expensive offering. But typically on our weekly stuff, and we don't do any reporting. I mean, we just tell people, listen, if you want to track along what we're doing, I mean, we're happy to provide like a Facebook Insights thing so you can see how many people are reached. I mean, that's fine, but you'll see the content that's being made, and that's really what we're selling is the creative content. You know, people having hopefully engaging with that content and talking on Facebook and Twitter, and that to me is our analytics right there.
Before I get into the creative content, which I think you guys do an excellent job of, and it was one of the fun research parts of actually, you know, I guess air quotes researching you and mm-hmm. I Wear Your Shirt. I got to watch your partner Sean in drag and singing a Taylor Swift video.
Nice.
And it's very funny. But so just getting back to the tracking point. So are the companies and brands that you're working with, like, are they, like, I know that you're not doing so much of it yourself, but are they seeing a big spike from when they began working with you, and then maybe like a little bit of a dip or like a little bit more of a plateau after they've worked with I Wear Your Shirt?
Yeah. And it, like I said, I mean, it differs greatly between brands, right? I mean, some of them will see, you know, and obviously I think the weekly thing is a little bit different than the daily was, because the daily really would show like the spike, right? I mean, you would see like, you know, hey, this day, you know, 5,000 views on my site, the next day, like, you know, 200. So, you know, we kind of watched that a bit because it was a great selling point for us in the beginning. You know, companies would have record days of traffic, and listen, when I started I Wear Your Shirt, I was the only person who'd done this. It was really weird. A lot of people were talking about it. You know, but as anything, when you do it for 4 years straight, you lose a lot of that steam, right? You lose a lot of that daily stuff, which is why I never had it as like a selling point was, we're going to break your traffic. You know, we're going to bring you X amount of views, because I knew that if I hinged my business on that as the sales point, I would fail. I mean, there's just no way you can replicate consistent traffic when I'm selling something every day to people. So, you know, we don't typically ask for a lot of stuff. I mean, we'll get emails from people. We haven't had an unsatisfied client, you know, knock on wood, you know, especially since we've gone to the weekly model. You know, we've had, I don't know, maybe 40 clients since then, and all of them have been happy. And I think that's because we underpromise and overdeliver. You know, we're making videos, we're putting out tweets, we're putting out Facebook posts, we're trying to be genuine. Anything else that happens beyond that is fantastic. And a lot of people see press mentions, or they see record traffic, or they see an increase in sales, and that's great. But I just, if we hinge our business on that, you know, I just know that there's no way we'd be able to survive.
Is what you do a standalone effort? And by what I mean by that is, like, is it something that when they come to you and they want to work with I Wear Your Shirt, is it something that they have an idea of what they want to kind of, you know, get a little bit more traction with? Or is it just kind of an overall brand awareness campaign?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of companies really email in and they're like, you know, we want something fun, right? I mean, like, we want to work with a company that does something different and fun and unique than what we do. and that's why we hire you. And it's funny because most of them will say, like, we're completely hands-off on the videos that you make. Do whatever you want. Here are a couple things not to say because we have brand guidelines, or we have, you know, we had a bad experience with this or whatever. Don't make an I'm on a boat parody with our brand, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, I mean, they're coming to us because Sean can impersonate Taylor Swift in a really weird and creepy way. You know, we can make these banter videos. I mean, we can, you know, make stories out of almost nothing for these brands. And they really appreciate that because it's something that they couldn't get, you know, really anywhere else for the price point, especially. So we get a lot of creative freedom, which I think is good. And then a lot of times, you know, brands will come to us and they'll just say, you know, hey, we're thinking about working with you. You know, can you let us know if you think this would be a good fit? And we'll say no a lot because I don't want to take on a company that it just is not going to be successful, right? I mean, if there's like a staffing company, I mean, why would that do you any justice to have me talk about that? And we've worked with those companies on behind the scenes, and we made videos for them behind the scenes that they've used for their own purposes, which is cool to be able to do that and not, you know, take away from our standard business stuff. But, you know, we really try and pick brands and work with brands that we know are going to be fun and interesting, especially to our community, which has been so great to us over the past couple of years.
Speaking of Sean, you and your crew, you guys have a lot of fun together and you're very creative. Do any of you have creative backgrounds in video, stage acting, or anything of the like in between?
Yeah, so you know, obviously over the years we've changed our staff year by year, and you know, I kind of did this on purpose because I wanted to have new people come on board, and so we've had a couple shirt wearers who've had some acting background. Majority of them haven't really had much video editing background. DeAndre Upshaw, who was a shirt wearer for a year and a half, he was definitely the best video editor we had. I mean, his stuff was just lights out. I mean, above and beyond anything anybody else could do. But yeah, I mean, the current team is Sean and myself and my girlfriend, who kind of manages all of our client stuff and does a lot of the marketing thinking for us. But, you know, Sean, really, I think his experience is just, you know, he's a super creative guy. You know, he's willing to put himself out there and get people to laugh at him, you know, doing whatever he's doing. And he fell into video editing kind of like I did, you know, just started doing it. You know, I used iMovie first for, you know, 2 years basically. And, you know, now we use Final Cut Pro, but we don't over edit things. I mean, we know what our strengths are, and it's more of, you know, creating fun content, you know, being kind of unique and funny and weird, and just kind of doing that instead of, you know, trying to do something we're not.
Yeah. When I was watching the Taylor Swift video for, you guys did that for Wiggity Bang Games.
Yeah.
I was watching that and I got a little bit, not so much jealous, but just kind of like projecting myself in there because I have a bit of an improv acting background. So
oh, nice.
As much as I'm like, I'm very quiet and understated and shy and things like this thus far. And then the first, you know, 11 episodes of the podcast, I can be a really different person on stage, and just watching Sean do that kind of like, you know, it brings a different type of energy. So pass along my I don't know, not congratulations, but just tell him to keep on going because that's a lot of fun.
I will. He actually joined an improv group here in Jacksonville when he moved.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he moved down here from Michigan, and he was kind of looking for some extracurricular stuff to do, and found one, and we actually went and saw him for the first time last week, and it was just hilarious to kind of see him in his element. I mean, obviously we joke around all day. We, you know, throw stuff at each other and poke each other, and you know, normal random weird things that people don't see on camera, but to see him actually do it in his element and you know how talented he is when we're on live video and we can both off the cuff just do things. I mean, it's fun to be able to see that. And I think that improv talent, you know, brings a lot to on camera because you're just so much more comfortable than most people, you know, who will shut down, you know, when they're on camera. And that's, you know, very unique.
It's a good skill to have. And it's something that it's weird, like kind of just real quickly, and then I'll ask you about your new last name, but I kind of struggle with the whole on-camera thing a little bit too. And like, I get a little shy, which is a shame because I think that I have a lot to bring in terms of a voice and different things, but it's just part of the process of getting more comfortable in front of a camera. And it's just, I'm totally fine in front of people, like speaking on stage, totally fine in front of a camera by myself in a room. It's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a lot going on with, I Wear Your Shirt. A lot of different things, but the coolest thing that I saw you do last year was probably towards end of October, early November. You decided to kind of tease people into what your next big project was, and that ended up being a website called buymylastname.com. Tell me a little bit about the idea behind that and how that even popped into your head, and just the whole story behind that.
Yeah, so I, I've had multiple last names growing up, either fortunately or unfortunately. I mean, you can look at it however you like, but it's kind of shaped who I am as a person. You know, I've never really stuck to one last name that like I could carry on as a legacy. You know, and I think maybe my grandparents' name would be the only one that I would actually care to take forward. But it's not, you know, it's not me, it's not mine. So my mom, you know, sent me a text message actually like April of last year and was like, hey, can you get on Skype? And I was like, well, that's weird. I mean, I think I've Skyped with my mom like twice in my life. And she was out of town and told me that, you know, she'd be going through a divorce. And, you know, this was a father that I'd had for like 15 years or something. And I'd adopted, you know, he'd adopted me. I had this name Sadler. And, you know, it lit a fire under me because, you know, it's my mom. I mean, it's been my mom for my entire life. And I just was so angry. And I just immediately was like, well, I'm not going to keep this last name. You know, I'll sell this last name. And we kind of laughed. You know, I kind of said it, you know, to break up the tension a little bit, but nothing came of it. Right. I mean, that was like the end of that discussion. We moved on, you know, we did our family thing. We came together and I think that was good. And then we had a planning meeting with the team in August at a Panera Bread. And we were just talking about like, you know, hey, what can we do in 2013 to really like, you know, get ourselves out there to find some new clients. We don't do a lot of outbound marketing. We don't do a lot of lead generation stuff. It's mostly word of mouth to find clients. And I said, you know, what about this whole like last name situation I'm in? Like, I don't want to keep this last name. I don't have another one to randomly pick. You know, what if I sold it? And so we kind of talked about it, went back and forth and we left that meeting. And I, you know, I'm sure I have the page of notes somewhere in this Moleskine of, you know, hey, I'm going to sell my last name. So you know, we have a web designer that we use for a lot of our stuff and contacted him and said, you know, hey, can you put this website together pretty quickly? He said, sure. Created the whole auction system and, you know, had it built in basically a couple of weeks and it was ready to go behind the scenes, but I didn't want to start it because of like all the election stuff. I mean, I didn't want to get caught up in that. So I had a PR company too that I'd worked with in the past a little bit. I reached out to them and so they were going to write a press release and pitch it out to help kind of get some exposure. But I also had all the press contacts from all the stuff that I'd done. So I knew that I had a lot of like things on my side for this, but I also knew a lot of people would probably hate this idea because names mean so much to people. So I put it up there November 1st, said that, you know, $0 bid on my last name. I'll change it for the year of 2013 and the highest bidder on December 14th, whoever that is at midnight, or I think it was December 12th, whoever that is at midnight will be my new last name for 2013. And sure enough, it ended at $45,500, and Headsets.com, a $30 million company out of San Francisco, won the bid, which is really cool.
It's such an astounding, cool thing. I mean, the I guess the root of it is kind of, you know, it's a little sad, but just the fact that you were able to then take that and kind of spin it into something, you know, totally unique is amazing. How much interaction physically have you had with the company Headsets.com? I know you've been to the office at least once.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, your point about it being kind of sad. It's true, but it's that life motto, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? I mean, like, that's exactly what happened to me. And that's, you know, that's kind of been my nature for my entire life. I mean, something bad happens, okay, how can I turn this around? How can I use it? So, but it was funny. So I had been talking to their marketing manager, Headsets.com, via email, while they were bidding, after they bid, congratulating them, you know, setting up payment instructions and all that stuff. And their CEO sends me an email, this guy, Mike Faith, who's just, he's hilarious. He's a hoot. And he was like, hey, you know, we actually have our company retreat this weekend, which was like 3 days after the bidding ended. You know, would you have any interest in flying out to San Francisco, you know, bring your girlfriend and like meet our team? And I was like, well, you know, what better way to really be entrenched in, you know, my new last name than to meet this team? So I flew out there on like 4 hours notice, you know, to San Francisco, went on this wine train in Napa Valley with them, like played all these games and really just kind of fit right in. I mean, they're a fun group of people. They've got that Zappos mentality of, you know, customer service is king and let everybody be their own person, which is really fun to see. And it was just really fun to like, they're so into it, right? I mean, there was so much trust, which I think is great. You know, they didn't need a contract. They didn't need all this stuff. They were just like, let's do it. And so that was really cool to have them entrenched in it. And actually just today, I got an official press release from them that had been kind of behind the scenes for a week or two. They made $250,000 in revenue in 2 months after the name sale. So spend $45,500 to buy my name, get about $6 million in PR impressions from it on, you know, every news outlet that there is, pretty much, and make $250,000 in you know, revenue, that's not a bad investment, right? And I think a lot of people scoffed at this idea because they're like, well, this is stupid. You know, what's it going to do for a company? There you go. I mean, literally, I can't do any better than that for a company in selling my last name and doing something just weird and different.
When I first saw it, it was like, this is the craziest, most brilliant thing I've ever seen, because of obviously, you knew, I mean, like, knowing your company, I looked at it and I said, this is just going to be an avalanche. Whoever wins this bid is going to just get the avalanche of PR and good pub and, you know, just different curiosity that comes with, you know, something that's just as unique as this. And, you know, congratulations to headsets.com. You've made a very wise investment. Okay, so you wrote a post on your blog yesterday, and it kind of speaks to the whole, you know, you, life gives you lemons, turn it into lemonade, and you've done very well with that. You wrote a post on your blog yesterday about how the world feels entitled, and you really kind of had it, and that's what took you to writing it. Talk about how this has affected, this the air of entitlement has affected our society, and how you've been able to kind of stick by your sentiment of the world owes you nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I try not to write a lot of, like, really controversial stuff because I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I mean, I've had change in my life, but, you know, I haven't gone through hardship like many people have. I mean, there's been a lot of, like, struggles, but I think everyone does that. And what I've really realized in the past 4 years is, number one, I haven't had a lot of days off. You know, I've worked my ass off to get where I am, and I'm continuing to do that, and I'll continue to do that because that's the way that I am, and that's, I want to feel like I'm earning what I'm doing. But you see this so much more now in the sharing of information through social media, is that people now have these platforms that they can, you know, talk about what they want to talk about, and they can air out their laundry and do all this stuff. And I just see so many people, and I hear so many people, and I'm, you know, at places and people are talking about this stuff of, like, you know, their business isn't successful because they didn't get something that someone else got. And what you don't realize is that the people who have earned success over time is because they put in so many hours behind the scenes that you don't see. You know, it's like, you know, with I Reassure, I mean, I'm 4 years into this, and I don't have millions of dollars in my bank account. I think people might think that because I'm in the press all the time, but you can just do the math on my website of how many sponsors we can have and how much we charge. It's not like some ridiculously, you know, profitable thing, but it's an amazing business that I've been able to build, that I wake up every morning loving what I do. I know that if I work hard, I'll get more clients and I'll be able to, you know, see more success. So, you know, this whole entitlement thing, and you know, obviously I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but there are so many people out there who hate their jobs and they hate their current life situation, and they think that life is just going to give them something better if they wait around long enough. And I'm here as living proof to tell you that it's not. You got to go out there and do it yourself. You got to go out there and make it happen for yourself. And for a lot of people, that's really hard to hear. You know, they've been given a lot of things their entire life, or they've never had to struggle. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't struggle. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't fail and learn from it. You're not going to just keep having positive things happen to you throughout your whole life. It doesn't work like that. I mean, there's not a fairy tale here for a lot of people. So I got some flack on Facebook from people who are like, you know, well, I know a lot of, you know, really talented people who don't have work right now. And I'd honestly like to meet these people, because I don't know talented people who are out of work, who are hungry, who are dedicated, who are willing to work 18 hours a day, who have put in the time to hone a skill that someone else doesn't have, who are willing to network their asses off. I mean, I don't know people like that who don't have jobs. I know people who may be good at doing web design who are lazy and don't have a job. I know people who are maybe good writers, but they don't have any business acumen, so they can't start their own company. You know, I know people who know how to code apps, but they don't have any idea of what somebody actually wants to use or how they should use it. I mean, there's a lot of different things out there. And I think it just, you know, some different conversations kind of hit me all at once. And I was like, all right, I'm going to write this post. I'm going to air this out. And a lot of positive response from people, too, that were like, I mean, you can look at the comments on the site. It's like, wow, like, this helped me. You know, like, I really think I was kind of feeling this as well, and I got some emails from people. So, yeah, I mean, it's these types of things, I think, is when they bite me in the butt, and I'm like, all right, I really should just write about this. Whether people are going to hate it or not, that's fine. But at least it's something that, like, I really firmly believe in and I'm passionate about, that people, you know, should work, and you get results when you work hard.
It was perfect timing on my end, because I got to look at it for both the podcast and also just kind of, you know, I read that and I just kind of felt like, well, I hope that I can learn a lot from this. I just looked at it as simply that. And also I just kind of was like, well, you know, I hope that I can be as hard a worker as a guy like, you know, as JasonHeadsets.com and all the other people that are doing, you know, unbelievable work and that have really, you know, had to sweat and put in the time and the sleepless nights to pursue something that really kind of is their passion and is something that is worth doing that those 18-hour days and, you know, 6 hours of sleep. And, you know, and you wrote about just how you have to say the cliche, I think, of sacrifice. I think people actually think that it's just the cliche, and it's not. You give up different free times and different events with your friends, with your family, with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. And if it's really something that you want to do, then you're going to want to do it. And if it's worth doing, certainly. And I really hope that I learn the, you know, similar kinds of lessons, and I'm able to actually apply them. So I appreciate you writing that article, and everybody else that, you know, commented does as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's, and I mean, I'm glad that it hits home for people, because I think that, you know, I couldn't have written that article 4 years ago. I probably was entitled 4 years ago, right? Thinking that things were going to come to me even when I started Outreach Shirt, and I had to realize that as well. And it's just, you know, it just goes to show people that I think you should look into yourself sometimes and say, am I really working hard? Am I like putting in hard work, or am I just working? You know, am I just like getting the job done because I know that I have to do it, you know, or am I like going above and beyond to make this something that like I believe in and I love and that like, you know, I'm setting myself apart from other people. And I think that when you can, you know, really sit back and look at that and say, wow, I'm not, that's a huge breakthrough. You know, you can pat yourself on the back just for getting to that point of admitting the fact that I'm not working hard. You know, I'm not actually putting a lot of hours. I'm watching a lot of The Biggest Loser, and I'm not, you know, I'm not getting in the gym myself, you know, and it's just, it's a thing that we all have to deal with continually. It's never going to be, you know, easy for anybody, because if it was, again, cliche, everyone would do it, right? I mean, that's just how it is. So.
So Jason, what is next for you, and what's next for iwearyourshirt.com? You've been alluding to a big new project on the company website, and I feel like you have something up your sleeve. Is there anything you can give us a detail on with what's coming next?
Can you see it? It's funny, right before I got on this interview with you, we're talking about that stuff. I mean, we have weekly and bi-weekly meetings that we're really going over kind of the next steps for Outreach Shirt. So we have, I think it's like 6 weeks left for sale on outreachshirt.com, which are awesome. You know, if any businesses are watching this, feel free to email to chat about that stuff, and it could be a good fit. But after May 3rd, I will literally be retiring from wearing t-shirts for a living. So
Hanging up the shirt.
I will be hanging. Well, I have to wear like a shirt normally. You know, I can't like walk around in public. But I will be retiring from daily shirt wearing, weekly shirt wearing, you know, wearing shirts for sponsors. And we have something else that we're working on. And I'm really excited about it. I mean, I'm losing sleep at night again because of this new direction of what we're doing. And I haven't had that feeling since 2008 when I first came up with this. So, you know, I know in my gut that when I feel like that, you know, I think I'm onto something. And it'll be much bigger. It'll be very different. It'll keep the same I Wear Your Shirt name, but, you know, people won't really know until May 3rd what we're doing. But again, I'm really excited. So, and, you know, on the other front of my last name, I mean, headsets.com is my last name for 2013. I may have to sell this thing again, you know, later this year. So keep an eye out for that if you're a business who, you know, saw the success of this. And, you know, I think second year is going to be the bigger year for this thing, just because it was like what is this crazy idea? And now it's like, holy crap, this worked. Maybe we should jump on board with this, you know, kind of see how it goes. So that's kind of what's in the works for me.
Yeah, and you certainly have all the different case studies to be able to point people to. It actually does work.
Yeah.
So Jason, what wouldn't you do for money?
I got offered to change my dog's name to a brand's name. I won't do that. My dog Plaxico, I love him to death. He actually had a short stint of wearing t-shirts for a living. You know, that was really fun. But, you know, it's funny. People have joked about like selling my wedding and like doing stuff like that. You know, there are a lot of things that I think in life are, you know, should stay, you know, whatever, traditional, if you will. But I'm always open to like, if something could fit and I feel good about it, I'm willing to sell it. I mean, I think it's interesting, just to push the envelope and to do stuff that's really different. But I don't plan on like getting tattoos anytime soon. I don't plan on doing a lot of permanent things. I like to do stuff that is reversible and stuff that, you know, I can walk away from at any time that I want, which I think is a good thing. So,
well, good stuff. I wish you all the best of luck. I will certainly be watching and, you know, keeping tabs on what's going on with you and your company. And I wish you all the best of success and all the hard work that pays off. Congratulations to everything.
Yeah, thank you so much for the time, and any of the viewers who are watching, you know, feel free to say hello on Twitter, at I Wear Your Shirt. I mean, I try and respond to every single tweet, every single email. I'm not one of those entrepreneurs who you're going to email and, like, you'll get a response that says you won't hear from me for months. You know, I love helping other people and just trying to educate them on all the things that I've tried to do and lessons I've learned. So, and, you know, quick shout out to my sponsor, OneSpark. If you're an entrepreneur out there and you're going to launch something, this is an amazing platform that's so affordable, and you don't have to have a full-on project like, you know, you need for Kickstarter. So definitely check out OneSpark. And thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate your time. And we will go ahead and check out OneSpark as well. And that's where you can go and find Jason online. He certainly is somebody that is true to his word. I have emailed him many a time off the cuff, and he's been very quick to respond and is always very cheery. So yes, go ahead and find him on Twitter at I Wear Your Shirt. You can find me on Twitter as well at JW Steyert, and that'll do it for Social Echoes. If you like the show, please subscribe via iTunes and leave a review so that others may discover the stuff we love creating for you, our listeners. Next episode, we have Chuck Bauman or Bausman, B-A-U-S-M-A-N, sports editor from the Philadelphia Daily News. We'll be talking about how social impacts their headlines and their stories, how the website deals with the newspaper. Hope you'll join us. We'll see you next time. Take care.